not part of the teaching, but it was just listening to the choruses. I'd have to go and do more research on it because it just hit me now as we're singing. Like the last one is an older chorus. It's really old. And I think there's like a subtle change of the wording within the choruses as you get more modern in the choruses. And I'd have to go check this. This is just in my head right now, is that the older choruses were, this is what God has done. And that's it. We present it. The newer choruses seem to be more, I get that feeling sometimes they're saying, I like the one, it's just the words, like it says, please send me. And I'm saying, but God has already told you to get out there and do things. You don't have to ask, please send me. It's more of a, they're not so comfortable with God's promises, maybe. They want it reinforced. They want second, but it's in the word. Go, do it, you know. So I think sometimes when we listen, and there's nothing wrong with that chorus. Please, I'm not slandering the author. But I think sometimes when we listen to things, we have to say, yeah, but God, you've already told us that. You've already said we can do that. We don't have to ask, you know. So it just came to my mind while we were singing. Okay. Random thoughts. It happens. Okay. I think as you get older, you have more and more random thoughts. Okay. Today I want to talk about the voice of God. How do we hear the voice of God? How do we hear the voice of God? How do we test the voice of God? How do we, it's something that as Christians we battle with, we struggle with, as we heard this morning. It's something that we want to hear the voice of God, and then we don't. So I think the first thing is let's establish, does God talk to us, especially nowadays in that? Does God talk? And I have to say yes, he does. But I can only say yes on the basis of what the Bible tells me. So if you don't believe the Bible, then I can't prove to you that God talks to you. So we're talking to Christians, as believers. If you believe the Bible is the written word of God, then the Bible tells us definitely God talks. Does he talk only to Christians? No, I don't believe so. If you go all the way through the Old Testament, God was talking to pagans. He was talking to non-Israelites. Maybe not in the voice that they recognized, but he spoke to them. For example, there's quite a few. I mean, that one I spoke about last week, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he had the dream about the statue and the feet of clay and how it broke down, et cetera, et cetera. And Daniel had to interpret it for him. But that's God putting the dream in his mind for Daniel to be able to testify and prophesy about the future kingdom of Jesus Christ. With Moses and the Pharaoh, Joseph and the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was having dreams as well. And Joseph interpreted them. And on that basis of what he interpreted, the Pharaoh then put Joseph in charge to go and do, you know, put all the produce for the next 7 years into granaries and that, so that during the 7 years of lean, they had sufficient food. So God is definitely talking to non-believers as well. Maybe they don't realize it, but it's all part of God's plan. He can do that. And it needs Christians to come along and interpret it and feed in, be part of God's plan for the Israelites under the Pharaoh's rule and that. Has God ever spoken to you? Some Christians will say, I've never heard the voice of God. Then you're not born again. Be quite blunt about it. If you've never heard the voice of God, then how were you born again? If you've been coming to church for years and years and years, and it sounds hard, but if you've been coming to church for years and years and you say, I've never heard the voice of God, then maybe you're just coming to church out of a religious spirit, out of, because your mum and dad made you come, or whatever, and you've just grown up in the church, and you say you've never heard the voice of God, then you cannot be born again, because it's the Holy Spirit, first of all, that convicts you of the sin in your life. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. He's the one who's convicted you and said, I am a sinner, but you didn't know what to do with it. And it's only when somebody presented the word of God and said, well, Jesus has died for your sin and Jesus has paid the price. And then you're hearing again the voice of God through the word of God, through the teaching or somebody giving you the gospel. So you've definitely heard, if you were a born-again Christian, you have at least twice heard the voice of God. We can't deny it, okay? But a lot of us probably can say we don't hear God that often. We struggle to hear the voice of God. So I want to look at some of the things there that maybe why we struggle to hear the voice of God. But we have to believe, because the Bible, you can go through the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, God talks. God spoke to the prophets. God spoke to the pagans. God spoke to the disciples. God spoke to Paul. It's all the way there through. So you have to believe that God does speak. But we don't hear. Well, why? Maybe why not? Why not? Let's look at some of the possibles why we don't. To me, the biggest one maybe why we don't hear the voice of God is the voice of God is the Word of God. Okay? And there is no new revelation. There is no new teaching. It's all in the Bible. And when God speaks to you, He's going to speak to you in line with His Word. When the Holy Spirit talks to you, He's not going to speak to you some new revelation or something like that. It's got to be in line with His Word. And if we're not spending time in His Word, we don't recognize it. So we hear, and we're not sure, is it my voice? Is it outside voices? Is it? But if you're not spending time in the Word of God, then I don't think you can clearly hear the voice of God. We have to learn to recognize that voice of God. So the first thing I would say is, if you're not hearing the Word of God, the voice of God, is spend time in the Word of God. And I mean a lot of time. Read your Bible beginning to end. You can start in the New Testament if you want, work your way through it. Because when you do hear, you have to recognize it. You have to recognize, oh yeah, that's God talking, because it's in line with the Scriptures. And if you don't know the Scriptures, you can't say that's the voice of God. Okay. Most of the commentaries and teachings I was listening to through the week all put that as the first point. You need to spend time with God. And as we heard this morning, you need to spend priority time with God. You need to spend time in prayer, and you need to focus on the Word of God. But when we spend that time in prayer and that, there's certain little techniques you can use. Well, not techniques. I think you have to do it. You have to be quiet. There has to be silence. And there has to be stillness. So by silence, I'm talking about all the external things. The TV, the social media, the friends, the family, the demands of the world. You need to cut all that out before you go and speak to God. Cut those things out. Those are easy to do. You just leave your phone and walk away from it. Sometimes it's difficult to get away from family. But I think it was Wesley. Was it his mother? Anyway, somebody like Wesley, his mother or his wife. I mean, they had a small house and many kids running around. That was the way it used to be back then. And she would just put the apron over her head. And when the apron was over her head, the kids knew, do not disturb mum, she's talking to God. So you can create a little spot somewhere, your little closet, as the Bible says. Go into your closet. Isolate yourself away from the world. You have to do that. You can't do it while you're sitting in front of the TV or laying in bed or with your social media nearby and the thing binging, you know, there's another message coming through. You need to get away. Find that stillness, find that quietness. And then you need to still your inner voice. Because while you're sitting there, your soul, your psyche, you are still busy. You're thinking about, I need to do this, I need to do that, I'm having problems with this and this. It's there in your mind the whole time. And you need to find a way to push that down, to push yourself down, so that the Holy Spirit can talk clearly, okay? And you're going to have to find your own techniques for doing that. I think most people will say, if you're struggling with that, then read the Word of God. Focus your mind on the Word of God and read that, and that should still all these other voices inside you. So as you read the Word of God and as you start praying, or maybe for some people it's singing, worshiping. Not for me, but for other people it would be worshiping. So if you worship and you sing and you really one with God, that will still your mind, because while you're singing, you can't think about all these other things. Maybe for some people, sounds crazy, go for a run. I don't know. Go for a walk in the garden. So, and then just focus on nature, focus on God as you're walking around in that. But you need to still that inner voice, which is causing all this confusion and lack of peace in that, and you need to listen and focus on God. But it takes practice. It's not just going to happen overnight. It's not just going to be, oh, okay, I do this, step one, two, three, it works. It takes time. It takes practice. And I don't think, and I'm talking for me, a lot of us are doing that. We're not really practicing this being still with God, being cutting the whole world out and just praising God, listening to God, talking to God. We don't do it enough. I think we should do that a lot more. One of the other things we can do as well is as James tells us, ask for wisdom. If you want to hear from God, ask for His wisdom. Listen to what He's saying. Often we pray for things. I'm not saying we pray wrong, but we pray for the situation. So that there is a situation or somebody needs prayer. Say there's a relationship problem. You say, Lord, fix that relationship. Maybe that's not the right way to pray. Maybe we should be praying and saying, just like James says, what's your word? What's your wisdom for that situation? What do I need to do? What do they need to do in that situation? And ask for the wisdom. Don't ask for the magic cure, if you know what I mean. You need to ask for that wisdom. And then the most difficult part of it is listening. You've asked for the wisdom. So now listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you about that situation, what to do in that situation. Okay. Not the solution. Ask what I have to do. what do I need to do in that situation? Then it comes down to once you've listened, so once you've quietened, still, ask for wisdom, listen to the wisdom. Now you need to obey. And I think this is where a lot of us, again, we get it wrong. We don't obey. God tells us you need to do A, B, C, D, or just A, because He doesn't always tell you the whole plan. He'll say, just do step A. And we don't do it because it sounds stupid. What He wants me to do has got nothing to do with that situation. So it can't be God talking. But we need to learn to understand, and we'll talk now, how do you know it's the voice of God? Is you hear the voice of God and you've tested it and you know it's the voice of God, do it. Because if you don't do it, God can't tell you step B, C, and D until you've done step A. And if you don't do step A, the situation will never resolve. And it can, as I said, it can sound stupid. I mean, when they were healing the blind, Jesus healed the blind man and He put mud on his eyes, spat on mud and put it on his eyes. If I've been praying for this blind person and saying, please, what's the word of wisdom for this blind person? And I got the voice that says, pick up some dirt, spit on it and put it on his eyes. I would have said, nah, that can't be right. I'm screw loose up here somewhere. But Jesus knew. And He did it. He obeyed, He heard, and He did it, and the guy was, his eyes were opened. So sometimes we just have to step out in faith and do the obedience part of it. Talking on the obedience, yes, you can be reading your word, you can be praying, you can be spending time with Jesus, with God, with the Holy Spirit, and you're still not hearing. And it could be that your life is not in obedience to what's already written in the Word. You already know what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to show the fruit of the Spirit. We don't have to hear God telling us that. We know that. It's in the Word. You've heard enough sermons about it. You've heard enough teaching. You know there are certain basics we know. We know that we're supposed to share the gospel. We know we're supposed to talk to people about Jesus. We know we're supposed to, our life is supposed to show it. And we're not. So if we're not being obedient in the things that we already know that we should be doing, why would God share more? Why would God tell you to go and do something more specific? Get those basics right. And I think, I'm not saying this is for everybody, but I'm saying you need to go away and ask each of these questions. You know, maybe I am being disobedient by not doing the fundamentals of what God has asked us to do. Okay, and that's for each of us to go away and pray about it and say, God, tell me what it is. I think sometimes we want too much the inner voice. God, tell me what to do, where to go, how to do. But it's already laid out in the scriptures. And if you're reading the scriptures, you know what you have to do. So be obedient and do it. And I'm the first one to raise my hand and say, guilty. Okay. There's a lot of stuff I know that I need to get right. And the Holy Spirit is convicting me about it. He's not condemning me. Remember that. Not condemning, but he's convicting me and saying, you need to put this right. And it's done with love and kindness, and we work it through. So assuming you've got all these steps right, and you are obedient, and God is talking to you, how do you recognize the voice of God? It's not unique that you don't recognize the voice of God, because there are, well, they talk about three voices. There's the voice of the devil, or his demons out there talking to you. There's the voice of yourself, your inner, your soul, your psyche, your whatever word you want to use is also talking. And then there's the spirit talking. How do you differentiate between them? Well, like I just said, if the voice is talking to you and saying you're an evil, rotten child of God and you're not doing anything right and you're a miserable specimen and no wonder nobody knows that you're a Christian, etc., that's the devil talking. He's condemning you. He's making you feel like a worthless piece of nothing. Okay? That's the devil talking. It's the devil that brings up the old stuff and says, you will never progress. Look what you've done in the past. Look what, you know, it's that whole condemnation again and again and again. That's the devil talking. You need to capture it, throw it away. The Holy Spirit will convict you. Like I said, he will point out that this is an area you need to fix up. This is something you need to sort out. But it's not done from that all you have to do is repent and it's done. It's not a condemnation. It's a conviction. This is what you're doing wrong. And there's no condemnation in it because Christ has paid for it. Okay. One guy gave an example. He said, you know, you've done something wrong and you end up in court and they find you guilty. So you've been convicted, okay? You are found guilty. There is a conviction, a sentence, okay? Then they do the sentence. That is the condemnation part of it. This is where you now have to go to jail or whatever it is. You are condemned to prison. You are condemned to the gallows in the old days. You are condemned. But for us as Christians, the conviction part is there. You're guilty of this. But the condemnation's not there because Christ has already paid that price. He's already done it all for us. There is no sentence. There is no condemnation. We just need to make. We're free. We're actually free to walk out of the court even though we've been convicted. And we just need to put it right. Okay. So we've got the obedience. How do you know that you are hearing the voice of God then? Well, there's a lot of different recipes out there. I think Rick Warren has the 7 steps to recognizing the voice of God. And they're all good. I don't agree with all his 7, but there are methods out there. But the key one is it has to be in line with God's word. If you've heard something, it has to be in line with God's word. It has to reflect the nature of Jesus Christ. Okay? Whatever you're hearing. It's got to bring the fruit of the Spirit. It's got to be, I mean, that is Christ. He is the fruit of the Spirit. So there has to be the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the faithfulness. It has to be part of what you're hearing. Okay? So you test it against Scripture. You test it against the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be in line with that. One of the more difficult ones is when you hear God, and then one, I remember one of the commentators talking on it, he says, it's very, God normally talks to you about something that you need to sort out. Or there's a word for you. It's you personally. He says, when you get a word for someone else, this is where you need to be really careful now. Okay, so when you hear a word for somebody else, it says the first thing you need to do is to go and pray about it. And the prayer should be that the Holy Spirit will talk to them first. Okay? So that when you do go and talk to them eventually, they can say, you know, you've just confirmed what the Holy Spirit has already been telling me. That's what I do if anybody prophesies into my life. Because, I mean, people do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. People will prophesy and say something about, you know, there's a word for you or here's a message for you. The first thing I will do for me personally is, has the Holy Spirit been talking to me about this? If the Holy Spirit hasn't already started talking to me about this, it may be that that person was just too early, too soon, and I'm not ready for it. So I don't discard the prophecy, but I will park it. I'll put it to one side until the Holy Spirit is talking to me about it as well, and I'm convicted about it. Okay. So just be careful if you do get a word for somebody else, before you share it, just pray about it. Maybe listen to what they're talking, and you can say, you know, the Lord said to me this, and they'll say, oh, that's all in alignment. It all fits together. Okay. Because I think the Holy Spirit normally talks to you about you, not necessarily about other people. I think that's more of a maturity issue when you come through. But I don't say stop doing it. If you have a word for someone, share it. You know, it's fine. We're all mature Christians here. So if you share something with me, I'll listen to it and I'll say, yes, thank you, brother, sister. I might ignore it because it doesn't matter. It's not meant in harm or in malice. It's out of love. Okay. But the most important thing, I think, is for recognizing the voice of God is the practice of listening to God. When Samuel was a young man, he was still working, or he was going to be the future prophet, but at the time Eli was the prophet, and he was getting really on in age, getting really old, and Samuel was tending to him, and he was in line to be the next prophet. And you know the story in Samuel 3, I think it is verse 10, where he heard a voice calling him, Samuel, Samuel. And then he went running to Eli, thinking Eli wanted something. And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. And that happened like 3 times, that Eli went back to his room or bed or whatever it was. And then he heard again the voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he runs again to Eli. Eli says, no. And on the 3rd time, Eli says, it's not me calling you, it must be God. So next time when you hear the voice, say, yes, Lord, here I am. So we see even there, the future, I mean, Samuel was one of the big prophets, the famous prophets, if you like, in the Old Testament. In the early stages, he didn't immediately recognize the voice of God. It took practice. It took the counsel of an older person who, a more mature listener to God, who had been listening to the voice of God, to tell him, that is God talking to you. And that's the other part of when you hear the voice of God, talk to other Christians. Ask them, you know, you tell them, I pray to God about this. I ask for wisdom. I hear this. What do you think? You know, and ask for the counsel of the other Christians. That's why it's important to belong to a church. That's why it's important to belong. We don't have to worry in this church because we're a small church. But if you're in one of these mega churches, you need to belong to a small cell group or a home church. So there's a smaller group of people that you can talk to. and say, I'm hearing this from God. What do you think? They don't have to answer you right away. They can go away and pray about it and that. But they will know. They will say, yeah, that sounds like the voice of God. That is in line with the scriptures. It's in line with, they know more about it. They've maybe experienced it themselves. So rely on the counsel of other Christians as well. We're not meant to do things alone. We're meant to be part of a body, and we're meant to work together to hear and to learn and to grow. It doesn't mean that the counsel you get will always be right, because we're all human, but talk to them. The one commentator said, if you actually feel that you can't share this with other people in your group, then maybe it's not from God. Because he says there should be nothing that you have hidden from your fellow brethren, from your Christian family. There shouldn't be something that you cannot discuss with them. Maybe it's on a quiet one-on-one basis if it's something you're really wrestling with that you shouldn't be doing and you want to discuss it. But you know what it is that you can't do, shouldn't do. If you're starting a business and you have business ideas, the people will tell you, yeah, it's a good idea for a business you want to start, but I don't know, we just don't see you doing that. It's not, you know, because we all have pictures of what we are and who we are, and then the other people will tell you, well, I wouldn't say that's your gifting or your calling or your skill set. So if maybe you need to pray more about this business idea or whatever it is that you're looking at. So yeah, talk to people. So check in God's word. Spend time with God, getting to know his voice, and speak to other Christians. We cannot do this in isolation. So the challenge is to believe that God talks to you. The challenge is to spend time in his word, to practice listening to God's word, and to listening to that quiet, it can be a quiet voice. The Bible doesn't say what the voice of God is like. It can be from the quiet voice to the roaring wind. God speaks in many different ways. Can be a vision, it can be a dream. Then go and test it. We're told to test the spirits. We're told to test the messages we hear. So go and test it. Test it by checking it against the Bible, checking it against the fruit of the Spirit, check it against the peace. If you don't have peace about something, then you're not ready for that word, or it's not the word of God, if there's no inner peace about it, about a decision. And pray until you get peace. And then speak to other Christians. Get counsel. There's nothing wrong with that. Until we learn ourselves to hear the voice of God and recognize it more and more and more, until eventually maybe you don't need to counsel so much. But that's why we're here, is to help one another. To share our knowledge, our talents, our skills, our spiritual gifts. People have the spiritual gift of discernment, and they can say straight away, with the spiritual gift of discernment, that is from God, it's not from God. And they're known to have that spiritual gift. Talk to them. But I think the main part of why we don't hear God is because we don't spend time with God, we don't spend time in his word, and we don't spend time quiet, still before God. We're just too busy, we're just too chaotic in our minds, and we need to calm down and listen and spend time, walk in the garden like Adam and Eve did. They walked in the garden with God, just walk with him, be with him. Amen. Okay. And I will put all these into practice myself as well. Okay. Sometimes I hate teaching because it's aimed right at me as well. And I'm sitting here going, ugh. But it's not condemnation. It's conviction. Okay. Should we just close off? Yes, Father, it's awesome that you choose to talk to us. That you want to share your plans for us. That you want to guide us. That you want to teach us. You want to convict us of areas in our life that need to be fixed and sorted. And we just give thanks, Father, for the sacrifice your Son made on the cross, because it's through him that the Holy Spirit is within us, and it's the Holy Spirit that guides us. And I ask, Father, that we just learn to listen, learn to be still before you, and learn to read your word and to hear from you through your word. Thank you, Father. Amen.